Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Jesus also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We do give you a warm welcome to the memorial service for Charles Walker. In this sad and difficult time, it is our prayer that this service will be used to help, comfort and strengthen you as you come to terms with the death of the one that you love. After this service, there will be a committal at Accrington Crematorium at 3 o'clock. All who would like to are welcome to attend. Also, if you would like to make a donation in memory of Charles, please either leave it in the box in the entrance hall or give it to one of the undertakers. And all gifts will be donated to the Salvation Army. It's always interesting, at a time like this when someone passes away, to hear the memories of various different folk. At such times we learn things about the person that we perhaps didn't know before. Personally, I've known Charles for 5.5 years. But I never realised that when he was young, he was a good singer. And when asked and persuaded, he would often sing the old hymn, "There were 99 that lay safely in the shelter of the fold." On my penultimate visit to see Charles, I was trying to encourage his memory and cause him to think, and I asked him what his favourite hymn was. Well, it wasn't "The 99 that safely lay in the fold." Initially he said he didn't know, but then he thought, and he stuttered out the words, "All the way my Saviour leads me." So let us stand to sing this hymn, remembering that God led Charles all the way through his life and safely to heaven. Let's stand to sing the first hymn, "All the way my Saviour leads me." Let us come before our God in prayer. Let us pray. Our great God and Father in heaven, as we are met together this afternoon on this solemn and sad occasion, we want to recognize the privilege and the joy of knowing you to be our God. We thank you that we can have delight in the fact that in the person of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we have all that we need for life and for eternity. We thank you that you are the God of all comfort. And you provide that comfort and strength and peace that we need. You are the God of wisdom, who provides counsel for us and direction in our lives. You are the God who is kind and generous, who cares for us, who helps us in our time of need. But we thank you also that in the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the God who saves. You are the God who brings sinners into a relationship with yourself, who gives folk like us peace with yourself through your own beloved Son. We want to thank you that you keep your people and you've preserved them through all the trials and difficulties of life. As your people face temptations, as they face suffering and problems, you are the one who brings them safely through into your glorious presence forevermore. And it's in the light of this that we want to thank you this afternoon. We want to praise you for your amazing grace towards Charles. Thank you that through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you saved him and you blessed him. We thank you for all that we have to remember of him, all that he has meant to us. We thank you for the many precious memories that the family have known. We thank you for the love that they have had. We thank you for the times that they have spent with Charles. We praise you for these good things. We praise you also for the faithfulness, prayerfulness, and commitment that Charles had to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the church. Oh Lord, as we remember our dear family member, our dear friend, we pray that the good things that we have seen in him may be a spur to us to trust in Christ and to live to please Christ. Almighty God, our kind, loving Father, we pray that we all may receive comfort from your hand this afternoon. Please bring peace to Charles's brother and sister, to Dorothy and to John, and to their families. We pray that as they miss him, they will find strength beyond what they could imagine, a strength from you. We pray for the church here and for friends that as we miss him, that we may mourn not as those who have no hope, but we would mourn as those who trust in the word of God, knowing that Charles is with his Saviour even now. So please, our gracious God, bless every aspect of this service and do us good, we pray. For we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From a young age, Charles was brought up in the church here and was converted to Christ around about 50 years ago. And I've asked Graham Westwell, a deacon of Trinity Grace Church, to give some memories of Charles as a tribute to his life. Thank you, Graham.
I haven't known Charles 50 years. But I've known him all my life, as I remember it, from coming to our house and coming to church here. Many things said at funerals, when people say them, you think, wow, was that really him? I didn't know that. And sometimes things get said that shouldn't have been said. But I can assure you what's written on here, on these memories, and what is said in this church is true memories of Charles. It's the truth. What I remember about Charles, especially in the last 18 months, doing his shopping every week, Royal Game soup. He loved it. And when we did his cupboards out, there were about 6 tins in there already, and he had 4 tins on order. I said, Charles, we're going to have to sort this cupboard out. And the chip here in Rami, sausage, chips, peas and gravy on a Saturday. That's what he had. 50 years ago, my dad says he walked into the church youth club at Somerset. He became a member of the church. He believed. And what my dad said about him, what you can think about Charles, is his absolute faith. He believed. He was very learned. You wanted him on a biblical quiz. And Jeff was saying when they had the church holiday on Trivial Pursuit as well. Because he knew a lot about secular history, especially history. But Charles, for me, faithful. He was faithful. Door-to-door work with Colin and Gary. You know, if Charles wasn't here on a Sunday morning, there was something wrong with him. We knew there was something wrong. Because he was faithful. He was here every week. And he had a real ministry in prayer. Always prayed for people. Never forget the prayer meeting at Charles's house. When everybody was sat praying and they felt the breath of the dog. A great big dog called Winston used to walk about and you'd be praying and you'd have dog breath on you. That was a funny memory we remember. Raymond used to be able to call on Charles at the open air to speak. And he would testify of how he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. As Tony has said, Lillian reminded of us him singing 99, but he also used to sing in the fellowship, just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, this my plea. On a bus ride not long ago, going to Bolton, a lady got on the bus next to me and said, we started talking and she realised that I came to this church. And one of the things she said, does Charles still go? Yeah, he does. Wow. She also mentioned Lillian. But two of the old people that still go there haven't give up. To sum up, Charles said it to me 300 times. I'd be saying something to him and he'd say, yeah, God willing. You'll do that, God willing. And he was right. On the last two times I saw him in hospital, that I actually spoke to him and got through to him, a lot of the time he would talk. And he was getting confused, as Tony has said. But once I said to him, I said, be still and know that I am God. That's a verse in the Bible, Charles, you know. And as I was going out, he was saying it, be still and know that I am God. I said, God's put you there. Be still now and know that he's God. But finally, I went to a funeral not long ago. And it was the father-in-law's mother who died. And his brother was in the telling everybody when we were going to something to eat. And she said, I asked my mum some time ago, what would she want at the funeral? What would you feed them? I said, give them some soup, they're a hungry lot. And everybody laughed, thinking, wow, she said that. And now here we are at the funeral and we're having the soup. Charles's message to us would be what he was, faithful. He believed. He never stopped believing. On my last visit that I actually got through to him, and I believe Peter and his wife had the same message with him, I said to him, God holds the key to all unknown, and it's a hymn. And he said to me, and I am glad. Because he knew. Not only could he say God willing, he believed it. And whatever was happening in his life, whether he was now going to go on to glory, I am glad. That was Charles, faithful to the end. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, Graham. I want to read a short passage from the Bible, which is the Word of God. It's a passage which speaks of really the centre of Charles's faith and the centre of every Christian's faith. Speaking of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 23, in verses 32 to 43, we read, there were also two others, criminals, led with him, that is Jesus, to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. And the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Last week when I spoke with Dorothy and Davina, I was just sharing with them that the passing of Charles doesn't seem real yet. And perhaps this afternoon it's beginning to dawn as we see the coffin of Charles before us. You see, at that time he didn't seem real. I'm still driving through town expecting to see him walking down the hill very slowly. I still expect on a Sunday to shake his big hand. Still expect that. And I still expect the numerous messages on my answer phone after I've had a day off and been out for the day, and there is Charles, just a social call. But as the reality of death and of Charles's death dawns on us, whether we be family members or friends, how can we be comforted? That's the issue, isn't it? How can we be helped this afternoon as we keenly feel his loss as we miss him? I want us to be comforted as we look at the real deaths of two real people mentioned in the reading that we have just listened to. The death of an unnamed criminal who was crucified, most likely for what we might label terrorist activities, and the death of Jesus, who was crucified as the innocent Son of God because he was hated by many people. This unnamed criminal here in this passage was a pretty bad lot. We might call him an insurrectionist, probably a murderer, possibly a threat to the state. Initially, even when he was being crucified, he'd mocked Jesus like the other criminal for who he claimed to be. But remarkably, before this man's life ebbed away, he turned from his sin and looked in faith to Jesus. Within a few hours of his death, this man sought Jesus' favour and desired to be part of his kingdom, desired to be in heaven. And so he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus could comfort him with these words, Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Today, my friend, you will be with me in heaven. When you die, all will be well. And that is precisely what we know to be true for Charles. He'd repented and believed the gospel about 50 years ago. He trusted in what he'd heard in the youth groups and in the Sunday school. But on the 30th of March, as it were, as soon as his eyes closed for the last time, his soul immediately went to paradise in heaven. That's what happened. We are aware, we can see amongst the flowers, that Charles loves Star Trek. And you see his Star Trek models around, you see the DVDs around. But we can't say of Charles what is, I suppose, a catchword we might be familiar with. We can't say that he's boldly gone where no man has gone before. This murder on the cross, he's gone there before. Other Christians have gone there before. But the important thing to realize is that Jesus has gone there before also. And as Charles has gone there, he has gone to be with Jesus, the Saviour and Lord and Master that he loved. We can say of him, yes, he is absent from the body, as the Bible says, but he is present with the Lord. We can say, as the Bible says, he is with Christ, which is far better. Amidst all the tears and heartache, the preparations for the funeral, the waiting for the coroner, sorting through the practicalities, all the stresses and strains and the grief of the past 3 weeks, paradoxically, we must realize that Charles has been the happiest he has ever been. He's now in paradise with Jesus. And that is real. And it's a real comfort to us to know that that is true. Today, Jesus said to this man, you'll be with me in paradise. But we might ask, well, how could such a criminal, not Charles, such a criminal, be in heaven? I mean, there he is. He's been a pretty bad lot throughout his life. Just a few moments before he's died, he's repented and he's accepted into heaven. How can that be? And actually, we can validly ask the same sorts of questions concerning Charles. As far as I am aware, he wasn't a terrorist, he wasn't a murderer, and he wasn't a threat to the nation. But we are all aware, he was by no means perfect, was he? Like me and like you. It is right, it's good, and it's proper at a funeral like this to remember the good things about Charles. The good times, the good memories, and the wonderful things that he did. But it actually would be wrong to set him apart as some sort of super saint. And because of this, he is automatically received into heaven. For even as is the case with us all, as he himself admitted concerning himself, we have all fallen short of God's standards and his glory. So how can it be that this man on the cross, Charles, and others, how can it be that such people can go to be with Christ the moment that they die? Well, it's all because of one astonishing moment in history. Now, Charles loved his history. Graham's already related something of that. If you were to be in his house, you would see the many different books on various figures of history. In fact, when I first came, he lent me a job lot of videos concerning the American Civil War, and I did enjoy going through them. But that's what his interest was in history. He loved history. He read lots about history, but all the aspects of history that he read of pale into insignificance compared to the death of that one next to this criminal. The death of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For upon the cross, Jesus didn't pay for crimes that he had committed, for he hadn't committed any. He is perfect. No, what he did on that momentous day was to pay the price for the sin of many. There's a few verses in the Bible which express this to us. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, we read that he is once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this a judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. Jesus did that so that all who would turn to him in faith, turning away from their sin, might be forgiven and might have that assurance of one day being in the paradise of God in heaven with Jesus. As we remember Charles, we do remember his kindness shining through at times. A couple of ladies, actually separately, related how on occasions he would walk them home just to ensure that they got home safely. He'd go out of his way to do that. And in that sense, he was reflecting something of the kindness of God. But when we think of Jesus upon the cross, as we see the Son of God giving his life as a sacrifice for sin, we see the immeasurable love and grace of God. And it's because of this that Charles could even say in hospital that he was ready to go, because Jesus had died and had risen again and secured his salvation. So we can praise God that Charles is now with the Saviour whom he loved. Yes, the reality is Charles is no longer with us, but it's also real that his soul is more alive today than it has ever been in heaven with Jesus. And so a question Charles would have wanted me to ask you: can you be sure that when the reality of your death comes, you will be with Christ in heaven? Are you trusting Jesus as your Saviour, looking to bring you safely there? Charles, be comforted. Charles is with Jesus now. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. In a moment, we will sing our concluding hymn, which my colleague and pastor, Oliver Allman Smith, of Trinity Grace Church, he stated in his tribute here on the banner that it was a much loved hymn of Charles. Oliver is tremendously disappointed that he couldn't be here. He's had to be in China on a business trip this week. But he's asked me to express his sadness that he can't be here, but also feel it appropriate to read out a tribute that he has given to the life of Charles, which not only reflects how much he was loved by Oliver and the church here, but also introduces our final hymn. So let's hear this tribute that Oliver has brought to us. He writes, "When meeting Charles out and about, folk could easily make the mistake of thinking that he was just a slightly eccentric, rather bookish loner. But if you asked him about the Lord Jesus and came to see him at Trinity Grace Church, you would see him very differently. Here was a man who had a thriving, personal, intelligent, thoughtful, and profound relationship with his Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And how he loved the church, or rather his church in Rami, where he was a committed member for over 50 years. Charles was no lightweight when it came to spiritual things. He valued reverent worship, profound preaching, solid hymns, sound fellowship, serious prayer, earnest evangelism, and close communion with his Lord. I will never forget his prayers that the Lord will undertake for his people in their needs, and that God would add to the church the such as should be saved. Charles always sought the glory of the Lord in prayer, and did so with energy, understanding, and perseverance. How we need more like him in our prayer meetings. Praise God that he is now upheld by those everlasting arms that were so precious to him. He will be singing that hymn he loves so much with new joy in heaven even now. One there is above all others, well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond a brother's, costly, free, and knows no end. They who once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, Charles, you are in a far better place, but we miss you greatly. Oliver. Well, let us stand to sing that hymn that Oliver refers to, One There Is Above All Others. We'll then remain standing for prayer and remain standing as the coffin is removed. So let's stand ready to sing, One There Is Above All Others, well deserves the name of friend. Be with you all. Amen.